Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing today?
Great. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter to
Happy
you, too.
Happy Resurrection Day.
Amen, brother.
Woo! And the, great greeting, he is risen.
Indeed, he is risen.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yay.
We can say
Woo.
Hallelujah again.
We can say hallelujah, like, really loud.
All over the place.
Yeah. What a great day.
Well, this is what it's all about.
That's right. That's right. The resurrection was, like we've always talked about, the ultimate sign.
The pivotal point in human history.
Point. That's right. And it proves that Jesus isn't just like in a line of people. You know, he's not in a line of equals, and he's just your favorite one. You know, you want to follow some religious leader,
yeah.
And, well, he's my favorite one. he's not a peer of anybody.
Right. I like him the best. He's maybe the nicest.
That's right.
Not about that.
That's right. And the fact that this is the ultimate sign that he's conquered death, which, is the final enemy, and it's something that everybody is afraid of. And he's conquered death. He's conquered the grave. And as the tomb opens and he comes out, it's the ultimate sign that sin has been atoned for. Sin has been forgiven. Sacrifice has been made.
Yeah.
Woo.
Makes me think of that song, Mighty to Save.
Oh, I love that song.
Jesus conquered the grave.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome.
Woo.
Well, so, hallelujah, brother.
What a day. Yeah. It reminds me of a story that a guy from Albania told me. I'm sure you don't know too much about Albania, but it was when it was a communist country, they used to brag that there were no Christians in Albania.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, all the churches had been shut down and everything. But, of course, God always has a presence, always has a witness. And
always
so
has a remnant.
Yep. It was an Easter time, and the government, you know, made the usual announcement that, you know, if there's any kind of public show of anything, you know, people would be prosecuted. And so in a small town, and this guy was an eyewitness, he was living there, and there were a bunch of Christians living there. And the soldiers came into town and said, you know, we just want to make sure you understand we're not going to have any of this. And so there was a crowd around this handful of soldiers, and somebody yelled out, Christ is risen. And they said, who said that? And then somebody else yelled, he is risen indeed. Who said that? So then the crowd just kept repeating it, and it was like cycling through the crowd.
Yeah.
So this little group of soldiers just gave up and drove off.
Well, you know, it's reminiscent a little bit of, when you say that, John Paul II, when he was the Archbishop of Krakow.
Yeah.
In Poland was obviously they were a communist. There was a communist government there when mm-hmm. he was bishop or archbishop. But there was a city there called Nowy Hut.
Yeah.
And the authorities wanted to have this city without God.
Right.
An atheistic city. And they would go and plant a cross in the field. John Paul II would celebrate Mass. Next day, the authorities would come down, take the cross out.
Yeah.
And they would do this for years.
Yes.
And, you know, it wasn't a yearly thing. He did it a lot. He did it, you know, once a month, a couple times a month. And so this went on for years. But they finally said, okay, you can have a church.
Yeah, right.
You know, it's the power of the resurrection, man.
Yes.
You got to proclaim
always,
the gospel.
God always has witnesses in a place.
Yeah. And it's very, you know, it's those two stories really, you know, they're not out of the realm of possibilities in our day and age.
That's right.
There is still persecution of Christians.
Yes.
There has been, you know, from the time of Jesus, and there
yes.
still is to our day.
Yes.
There are still people that deny that Jesus is the Messiah. They don't want any part of it. But they also want to impose that upon other people.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the role of a Christian is to proclaim the good news mm-hmm. that there is forgiveness of sins in the name
yes.
of Jesus, and he's risen, and
Amen.
He's risen indeed. So,
and it's not just for the clergy to do.
It's not just for the clergy
everyone
to do.
It's to do.
For everyone to do. If you went to Mass today, if you went to services today, and you celebrated the resurrection of the Lord, you're to proclaim
yes.
that Jesus
yes.
Christ is Lord.
Amen.
You know,
and these are, you know, the The crucifixion, then the resurrection, is the center of salvation history.
Yeah.
And you keep going back to the series we did on the cross being the center.
Mm-hmm.
We should do that again sometime.
Ooh, we should.
But we should make a collector set of CDs.
We should. We can sell them.
Do people still have CDs? I don't know. I do.
I think they do. Yeah, I think they do.
Or maybe a collection of MP3s or whatever it is. But
thumb drives.
It's the center of human history. It's the center of salvation history. And all of the scripture that came before pointed to that.
Mm-hmm.
We're on the other side looking back at it. So we can see everything that came before. We can see that. And we can understand how the plan of salvation unfolds. Right. And this is the, well, not the end point, but this is the end point of the act of salvation.
Right. And, you know, in this act that Jesus does, you know, he tells his disciples, I didn't come to abolish the law. I came to fulfill it.
Yes.
He fulfills it. And with this act of love, but he also reconciles all of creation,
yes,
all of God's creation back to the Father.
Yes.
You know, what took place in the garden is now rectified.
Yes. That's right.
The sin of Adam and Eve is now atoned for, if you will. And so Jesus sets things aright.
Yes. That's why Paul calls him the second Adam.
Mm-hmm.
Because the first Adam was disobedient, screwed up. The second Adam was obedient, fixed it.
Mm-hmm.
And the original gospel is proclaimed in Genesis 3:15. This is the fulfillment of it. Because now Redeemer has come, has smashed the head of Satan.
Yeah.
Well, Satan's still, you know, winning battles here and there, but
mm-hmm.
his fate is sealed.
His fate is sealed. The battle still rages. It still goes on. We're still in the battle.
Mm-hmm. And there's still casualties.
Unfortunately, there are still casualties. As believers, we really need to equip ourselves so that we don't become a casualty.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we need to put on the full armor of God, as Paul talks about in Ephesians 6.
And wield the sword.
And wield the sword.
Which is the word.
Because the power and the authority is in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
It's not in our power. It's not by our own power or authority, but in the name of Jesus is the power and the authority because He was obedient to the Father.
Mm-hmm.
He suffered death for our salvation, and he rose again.
Yes,
he has the power and the authority.
And like those of you that know me and have probably heard me say this and just said it a little while ago to my Sheffield group, we watched The Passion of the Christ as a group and then, you know, talked about some things afterwards. But I always use that movie as a witnessing tool because when you ask people if they've seen it, everybody kind of cringes and goes, yes, ugh.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, isn't that a horrible thing to watch? Ugh, it's horrible. Oh, I couldn't even stand it anymore, which is true. It's a horrible thing to watch.
It is.
But then I add, if you could be saved by being good or if you could be saved by 58 other ways, then why in the world would he go through that?
Mm-hmm. And see, this is the importance of why God instructed the Israelites to celebrate the Passover as a perpetual feast in the first person.
Absolutely.
And this is where, unfortunately, all denominational churches in our time have missed a little bit of the mark there by not really proclaiming that as it should be, that we need to celebrate the feast of Passover and the resurrection of the Lord in the first person because do we forget what was accomplished for us?
That's right.
I mean, you know, if you think back to the time of Jesus when he actually was on the way to Golgotha, carrying the cross and being brutally tortured, could you stand to watch that? I mean, think about the people that were there witnessing it as it happened.
Yeah.
You know, horrific, horrifying. Yes. And you know, in our day and age, we're so far removed from it that we don't really think about it in the first person.
No.
We really don't see the magnitude of it, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
that's right.
The price that he paid.
Yes.
We are purchased at a price of his own blood, of his own life.
Yes.
And he willingly gave it.
Yes.
But what's our response to that? You know, last week we played that song, The Wonderful Cross.
Yeah.
You know, love so amazing, so divine. Demands my life, my all.
My all.
You know, what's my response to it?
Yeah. It's not just something you can look at and say, oh, yeah, that's nice.
Yeah.
And we're used to seeing crosses, crucifixes all around us. Mm-hmm. You know, people have them as jewelry.
Yeah.
You see them on some walls. You see them at the church. And you kind of get used to seeing it.
Yeah. It's part
or
of fashion.
If you see, if you see a crucifix, it's usually a very neat one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a few wounds, but it's all generally very clean.
Right.
But when you see the Passion of the Christ, you see what actually would have happened.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if you saw him the way he was that moment, you would never forget it.
Yeah.
And it's something you should think about 20 times a day, as I always like to say.
Yeah.
Because if that's not the center of your life, then you don't get what happened there.
Yeah.
If you think that's something that's just going to kind of make your life a little better, it's kind of interesting to learn about, it's nice to go to church that day because everything's festive looking.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you've kind of missed the whole point of it.
Yeah. Yeah. And unfortunately that still takes place in our,
oh yeah,
in our culture.
People
yeah.
say to me a lot, what are you going to do for Good Friday and Easter? I say, I don't know. Every day is Good Friday and Easter to me. Because every day is like that.
Yeah.
You think about the cross, you think about the resurrection. You think about the cross, you think about the resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
So when you see that, when you see that cross, you should understand who you are, what you're like, what your true self is, and how now instead of getting what you deserve, you get salvation.
Yeah.
It's pretty overwhelming.
It's, you know, as you're saying, you know, you, as you see the cross, you know, it's really who we belong to.
Exactly.
You know, I'd learned this in your Torah study.
You did?
Yeah, I'm going to give a shout out to your Torah study.
Yeah.
So if you haven't gone to one of Phil's Torah studies, contact him and, you know, see where the next one's at and do the Torah study thing. But it's good because, in the wilderness, all the tribes were set up and there was a banner for each tribe. So you knew who you belonged to.
Exactly.
You know, and the banner that we assemble to as an assembly of believers mm-hmm. is the cross.
Mm-hmm.
That's the central banner of our faith.
Amen.
Because that's who we're under.
Yes.
That's who saves us.
Yes.
And that's who we belong to.
Yes. And as he said, when the Son of Man is lifted up, I'll draw all men to myself.
Yeah.
And all men means us Gentiles get to come too.
All men. Yep.
And it goes to the ends of the earth. It doesn't matter where you're from. Right. Doesn't matter what your language is.
Right.
Doesn't matter what color you are. Doesn't matter how tall you are. It doesn't matter how rich you are. It doesn't mm-hmm. matter if you live in a mansion or you live in a hut.
Yeah. Everybody's.
It's all the same.
It's salvation for everyone.
Amen.
Who receives it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's talk about, should we talk about Easter a little bit?
Yeah. Well, we kind of are.
You want to read some Luke? Dr. Luke has a nice account.
Dr. Luke.
And, let's do Dr. Luke. He's in
24.
He got so busy writing, he couldn't even work in his office or make hospital rounds.
They always wait till the last chapter to put in the resurrection.
I guess that makes more sense.
makes sense. So this is from Luke chapter 24.
Yeah, verse 1.
And they always start out with the verse 1.
Yeah.
Who knew? But at daybreak, on the first day of the week, they took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were puzzling over this, behold, two men in dazzling garments appeared to them. They were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. They said to them, "Why do you seek the living one among the dead? He is not here, but he has been raised. Remember what he said to you while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified and rise on the third day." And they remembered his words. Then they returned from the tomb and announced all these things to the 11 and to all the others. The women were Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Mary the mother of James. The others who accompanied them also told this to the apostles, but their story seemed like nonsense, and they did not believe them. Mm. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb, bent down, and saw the burial cloths alone. Then he went home amazed at what had happened.
Hmm.
Wow.
That's awesome. So the women come. Now, the women come Sunday morning now.
Because they were going to anoint the body.
Right. And you know why. I'm sure you all know why they went Sunday morning and not Saturday morning. Because, of course, it was the Sabbath.
Saturday is the Sabbath.
Right. Yeah. And on Friday, if you remember the accounts after the crucifixion, they had to break the legs of the thieves. They had to get the bodies off the cross because it was the Sabbath day.
Yeah.
And it was a very important Sabbath because it was Passover.
Mm-hmm.
So you couldn't have dead bodies around.
Right.
Everybody was defiled anyway when they touched these bodies.
Right.
But these women had seen him die on the cross.
Right.
So they knew he was dead.
And they didn't have time to anoint the body.
That's right. And they didn't have time because the Sabbath was coming. They got the body down. They probably did some preliminary cleaning up and in, it says into the tomb. And they, the gospel takes pains to explain that they put a big stone in the entrance to the tomb.
Right.
So, you know, number one, that these women aren't going to move this huge boulder out of the way. I mean, I'm not being sexist. It's just the idea that,
yeah,
you know, two or three women aren't going to move this huge boulder. It's a big boulder.
Right.
And, of course, it's always funny to think the stone wasn't rolled away so Jesus could get out, but so the other guy, people could go in.
Well, yeah, but, the stone was placed there so they couldn't come in and take the body. Yeah.
But they had seen him dead, and when they took him down from the cross, and presumably if you've seen the statue, the Pietà, which, of course, is a very cleaned-up version of it. It's the scripture doesn't tell us, but it's not far-fetched to think that when they took the body down, Mary would have held his body for a little while
right.
before he was buried.
Right.
And the body was a, number one, horrible in appearance, swollen, bruised, bloody, mm-hmm. and there was no question he was dead.
Yeah.
And you've heard of people espouse this, you know, what's called the swoon theory. Well, he wasn't really dead. You know, he was just, he just passed out.
Yeah.
And then when he got in the cool tomb, you know, he kind of revived himself. So this guy, this man who had lost almost all of his blood, had been beaten, nails pounded into him, all swollen, somehow managed to get up, move this big stone out of the way, and come walking into the city all like clean and nice. Well, that doesn't really follow very well.
No, no, because he still had the wounds and he would still be bleeding.
Yeah. So the swoon theory is definitely out. They knew that he was dead, and they saw a dead body being taken down from the cross and put into the tomb. It's a break already.
It is. First break.
Let's listen to this. Remember, check out GetTheGraceMinistries.org. We'll be right back.
Our eyes upon the cross and run to him who showed great love and bled for us. Freely you bled for us. Christ is risen from the dead, trampling over death by death. Come awake. Come awake, come and rise up from the grave. Christ is risen from the dead, we are one with him again. Come awake, come and rise up from the grave. First crown, no burden grace. Christ is risen from the dead, trampling over death by death. Come awake, come awake, come and rise up from the grave. Christ is risen from the dead, we are one with him again. Come awake, come awake, come and rise up from.
Listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. I love that song.
Oh, yeah. That's a good song.
Especially on Resurrection Day.
Yeah, that's what it's all about.
So these women, from the dead. They saw the dead body. They saw him be put in the tomb. They saw the stone rolled across the tomb because, you know, on the way to the tomb, they're saying, Jesus is going to roll the stone away.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we're going to be able to do it. How are we going to get in there? And they had to do it fast, like we said. And because, of course, at sundown would start the Sabbath, the Shabbat, they had to hurry up and put his body away, put the stone. Because as soon as the sun was setting, you wouldn't even be able to roll the stone. And you certainly wouldn't be able to touch a dead body. Right. So during the Sabbath day, that Saturday, which for these women and for all the disciples must have been just a horrible Sabbath day after what they had been through on the Friday.
Yeah.
And we don't know what was happening in the rest of the city because there had been earthquakes. The veil had been torn. I mean, the scripture doesn't tell us anything about that day, nor do any historians. But I always wonder, like, what was that Sabbath like that day in the city? I mean, because the priest went in and the veil was torn and.
what was that Sabbath like? Because the veil of the temple was torn in two.
Yeah.
How could they offer sacrifice?
Yeah. Holies was exposed.
Yeah. Everything was exposed.
So Sunday morning, bright and early, they go there and you have to assume we don't know exactly when the resurrection took place. It could have happened anytime after sundown of what we would call Saturday.
Because
that's when the Jewish day starts. So in those days, you didn't walk around desolate areas like that after dark.
Right.
You wouldn't be able to see anything. I mean, you could carry a candle or a torch around, but
there were no street lights.
Yeah, so they waited. It says early in the morning they went. So they're surprised, you know, because they get there. to do this anointing. So they've got a little container of spices, which is myrrh and whatever else, because they want to do the burial customs. And they see these two angels that are dressed in really shiny clothes, really shiny garments.
Mm-hmm.
So they're like, every time, as we've said many times, whenever a human encounters an angel, they get scared. I mean, these women just fall to their face when they see these two angels.
Yeah.
Which is kind of interesting. So they went to the tomb looking for their master, who was dead and was at this point in some kind of grave clothes. But what they saw were these two angels in shiny garments. So that was kind of a surprise. That's not what they were expecting to see.
No, they were not expecting to see two guys in shiny garments at the tomb of Jesus.
Yeah, and like you always say about the woman at the well, you know, she runs off and forgets about her bucket.
Yeah.
Which a few minutes before that was like the most important thing.
Yeah.
I wonder if these women even thought about the spices they were carrying anymore.
Yeah. You know, as you're mentioning about, you know, they got there early in the morning, and I was thinking about this last week. We were kind of talking about, you know, Jerusalem sits a little bit north of the equator.
Mm-hmm.
And any place that's near the equator within, a few degrees, usually there's 12 hours of daylight and 12 hours of night because mm-hmm. it's equally split. So it probably was around 6 o'clock in the morning, maybe a little bit after that they would go.
Yes.
To the tomb.
Yes.
And the other interesting part of what I was going to bring up is that just as that colt and that the donkey last week, as we talked about on Palm Sunday, had never been ridden, mm-hmm. that Jesus rode into the city on, the tomb in which he was laid had never been used before, right. Either.
Right. It was just hewn out of the rock for Joseph of Arimathea.
Yeah. So, you know, everything is provided for that it's used for the first time,
yeah,
in this whole Passover resurrection sequence.
Yeah, that's a good point. And it was the third day, and again, this goes back to Jewish time, because even when I was younger, I used to think, well, how could it be the third day? We died on Friday, and this was Sunday.
Yeah, can you explain that?
Yeah.
That's a good thing.
In Jewish thought, a part of a day is the same as a day, mm-hmm. and a part of a night is the same as a night. But the important thing is the day, Hebrew word yom, because the day starts at sundown. So the body's placed in the tomb Friday before sundown. So it's Friday. So that counts as the first day, because part of a day counts as a day.
Mm-hmm.
Then all day Saturday, which would go from Friday sundown to Saturday sundown in our time. So that's day two. That's a whole day. And then the resurrection happens at some point after sundown. So we don't know if it happened Saturday night at 8, you know, Sunday morning at 1:15 a.m. I mean, we don't know exactly when he came out of the tomb. But as long as it was even a few minutes after the next sundown, that counts as part of a day. That counts as a day. So there's 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
And that's in the Hebrew mind.
So the after the sundown on Saturday
mm-hmm.
is really the start of the
starts
third
the
day.
Third day.
Yeah.
Right. And that's how it goes. You know, some people say, well, he must have died on Thursday then. But no, this is how it goes.
See, if they were on Jeopardy, they wouldn't get
that. That's right.
They would lose that question.
That's right. And he had told his disciples about this on the third day.
Mm-hmm.
The third day is going to rise. And interestingly, of course, that year, that was the Feast of First Fruits, which is one of the feasts of the Lord. And he's, of course, Paul going to say later, he's the first fruit of the resurrection. So in other words, he's the first to rise. We're going to rise too. When we die, of course, our souls are going to be there with him. But then, eventually, our bodies are going to rise out of their graves as well. We're going to get a glorified body. Mine's going to have hair. And then our body and soul are going to be reunited.
Yeah.
Because we're a body-soul unity.
Yes.
And as our body's in the ground, you know, and if you've been dead more than, you know, a few years, there's not much left of your body.
Right.
And your soul is in heaven or hell, but let's say your soul's in heaven. Mm-hmm. And if your body's been dead for 500 years, there's nothing left of it.
Right.
But someday that body comes back and somehow you're joined back with it.
Yeah.
With hair. And it's going to be a glorified body that's going to be awesome.
You're big on this hair thing.
Oh, big on the hair thing. Yeah.
Well, Jesus.
I like to think I'll be handsome, too.
You're going to be glorified.
That'll be a stretch.
Well, Jesus did say that every hair on your head is accounted for.
Yeah, I know.
God does think that hair is a very important thing.
Yeah. Mine's a pretty small number, but anyway, but this is the victory over death and the grave, because death comes into the world because of Adam and Eve, of course. And now death is conquered, because by this atonement, life comes back to us. Eternal life comes back to us. Well, our bodies are going to die. We're going to have some kind of, in medicine, we have a saying, everybody dies of their last disease. You're going to die from something. You can watch your cholesterol for 70 years and have it be perfect, but then you will get something else that's going to lead to your death. Your body is going to die, but you're going to have eternal life that is brought about by this sacrifice and this resurrection as the ultimate sign. And it's because of this that you're going to rise. It's because of this that your sin is atoned for. And as Paul points out, he's our righteousness.
Yeah.
And in 2 Corinthians 5:21, which is one of my favorite verses, talks about how he who did not know sin became sin, so we might become the righteousness of God in him. Yeah. Our righteousness is in him.
Sounds like a Chris Tomlin song.
It does.
Yeah. Jesus is Messiah.
I don't have a whole lot of righteousness.
We don't.
We may be more, you may be more righteous than the guy next door, and he may be more righteous than the guy in the next house.
Right.
And you all may be more righteous than, Hitler or Stalin were. And, but even somebody who's Mother Teresa or Billy Graham or whoever you can name that's well-known religious leader, they're not righteous either.
Well, as you're saying that, Jesus would always rebuke the scribes and the Pharisees because he told them you would place burdens upon people. You heap these burdens upon people and you don't lift a finger to tell them. Mm-hmm. But then he would also tell the people, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you're not going to enter the kingdom of heaven either.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very tall order.
Yes.
Very tall order.
Yes. Yeah. Because if you were a common person then, you say to yourself, how can I be more righteous than the Pharisees? Because they're the holy guys and I'm just some dopey guy.
Yeah.
I mean, I go around, I hang around at the bar and I'm, to go to my job and I'm, not really that holy and I don't always tithe but they had all that cool stuff on and they're the ones, they're always praying. So I can't be more righteous than they are.
Yeah. And he really shows them, that against love, there is no law.
Yes.
It's based in that love, that first fruit of love. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. That's an excellent point. And so when these women get there, and of course, if they heard the conversation that we just had, that moment, they would have said, I don't know what you guys are talking about. All I know is we saw this guy who we really loved and he was our leader and we saw him dead and now he's not here. And now there's a couple of angels here. They didn't have time for a lot of theological discussion because they were blown away by this.
Yeah. And we've talked about this many times on the show throughout the years is that, when you think about not just talking about the scriptures and studying the scriptures, but actually thinking about what was happening at the time that they experienced this.
Yes.
Because when you try to put yourself in the situation, you gain a whole different perspective of appreciation, of understanding, of study of it. Because in real time, if you saw somebody crucified, brutally, brutally crucified, and you knew they were dead, and you put them into a tomb, and then you know, 3 days later you come back and you come to anoint them because you didn't have time to finish preparing the body for burial, and you see the person not there, what would you think? And you see these two men in these shiny garments, and they tell you, why are you looking for him amongst the dead? He's risen.
You'd say to yourself, well, he died. That's why we're here.
Yeah. I mean, it would alter anybody's experience exponentially. Yeah,
exactly.
You know, it's hard to even put into words.
Exactly. Why do you seek the living among the dead?
Yeah.
So they witness, and notice there's two of them, which of course satisfies the Old Testament. You need two or three witnesses.
Mm-hmm.
So there's two witnesses that say he's alive.
Yeah.
And these are heavenly witnesses. They're not like, you know, a couple of guys who just happen to be walking by. They're angels. They're sent just for this purpose.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know who these two angels are. We don't know their names. And we don't know if they're like high angels, if they're sort of medium angels, or they're just kind of, you know, ordinary angels.
I want to find them in heaven.
Yeah, me too. Say, which one of you guys was down there? Oh, you and you? Oh, cool. So they came from heaven just for this, just to give witness to the fact that he's risen.
Yeah.
And we know that he's a living savior. This is a witness that he's a living savior. He's not a dead hero. You know, there's a lot of dead heroes in human history. You say, oh, that guy was a hero because, you know, he ran up the hill and he did this and then he died. And
mm-hmm.
you say, wow, that's very courageous.
Yeah.
You say, but he's not a dead hero. And he's not a dead teacher. He's not just a dead philosopher who said a lot of good things and then people got mad at him and they killed him.
Right.
And he's not like that. He's also not just another rabbi. He's not just another teacher who gathered some people around him and, you know, like Socrates or
right.
Plato or, you know, there were a lot of people like that.
Right.
Or even John the Baptist.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when John the Baptist died, he was still dead 3 days later.
Right.
His body was still in a grave somewhere.
Exactly, yeah.
But here there was no body because he's alive and he's the Lord of life who's not going to be among the dead. Death has no hold over him,
yeah.
as he said. Death has no hold on me. I can put down my life and I can take it up again.
Right. Right, yeah. Yeah, when Jesus says, you know, I have the power to...
Mm-hmm.
Lay down my life, I have the power to raise it up again. Nobody takes it from me, but I lay it down willfully. And, you know, as Peter, well, I don't want to get too far ahead of that, but, you know, the women are astounded at what they're experiencing, at what they're seeing and what they're hearing. And they run back to the apostles, to the disciples, and they tell them what they just witnessed.
Yes.
And they don't believe.
They don't believe it.
They're like, what?
It's interesting. Before that happens, though, they must have been standing there looking stupid because the angels say to them, remember, he told you about this in Galilee.
Mm-hmm.
It says, and then they remembered.
Yeah.
So then they said, oh, wait a minute. He told us on the third day he was going to rise. Mm-hmm. And it's the third day, and he's not here. We better go tell Peter.
Yeah. Yeah, so they get back, and then they, you know, it says, but their story seemed like nonsense, and they did not believe.
Yes.
They didn't believe them.
Yeah.
But Peter... You know, for all the hard time we give Peter about saying just the wrong thing at the right time.
Yeah.
He's the first one. He gets up and runs to the tomb. Does John go with him?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. But John outruns him because he's younger.
Yeah. You know, wait up for me.
Yeah.
So they get to the tomb and they find the burial clause alone.
Mm-hmm.
There's no person, there's no body, but just the burial cloths.
Folded up
neatly. Yeah.
Yeah. And, interestingly, along those same lines, the cloth that covers the head is folded up because, again, at the time in Jewish tradition, when you were done working or when you were done eating, you folded up your cloth and you put it down. So it's another sign that the work is done.
Mm-hmm.
And I hear music already.
Again.
Oh, this is the second break.
Oh,
good, because I got more notes. Anyway, remember, check out giftofgraceministries.org. We'll be right back.
Who breaks the power of sin and darkness? Whose love is mighty and so much stronger? The King of glory, the King above all kings.
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. Last segment of the show, Resurrection Day.
Yeah.
This would have been the time of day they would have been having the road to Emmaus. But
yeah.
Maybe we should talk about that some other time.
Next week?
Anyway, maybe. Anyway, so, you know, it's funny because I was just thinking when the angels told the women, remember he told you about this in Galilee? And they go, oh, yeah, then they remembered. Well, Peter and John didn't really remember it because they didn't really believe it.
Right.
Maybe because there were women saying it, but it says they were like idle fables.
Well, if you think about the time, you know, could a woman testify in a court of law?
No.
You know, and it's interesting. Who does God use? He uses these women.
These women are the first
to bring back the message. Yeah.
Yeah. And it doesn't say that they said to Peter, hey, remember in Galilee, he told us this.
Right. Right.
They could have women weren't used to speaking up in those days, but they could have said something to Peter like, hey, remember he told us this.
Right.
But it says that it sounded like idle fables, which means they didn't really believe it.
Yeah.
But then they went to check it out. You know, they had expressed faith that he was the Messiah, that he was the Son of God, but they didn't believe this. And even though he told them several times he was going to suffer, he was going to be handed over, and then he was going to rise from the dead, they didn't really believe it right away, but they went to check it out.
Yeah. Yeah, I know that, you know, the road to Emmaus is the very same day. But what he says there that it goes along with what you're saying is that they were describing to him what had happened. They didn't recognize him, but he says, oh, how foolish you are and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophet spoke. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And then beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them what referred to him in all of the scriptures. And then later on, he appears to them in the breaking of the bread.
Yes.
And these made known to them.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, what an awesome day.
Yeah, that's amazing.
You know, so here the people are slow to believe.
Mm-hmm.
This sounds like nonsense.
Yes.
You know.
Yeah.
But then Jesus encounters two of them on the road to Emmaus, and they're slow of heart to believe. And he rebukes them for that, basically.
Yes,
and then he gives them this awesome Torah study, if you will.
Ooh.
And
that was the best Bible study ever in history.
Ever. And all we get is a sentence of it.
Yeah, why didn't those two guys write a book?
I know. Beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted them, everything that referred to him. That's all it says.
That would have been a great commentary.
Yeah, oh, man, awesome. But then their eyes are opened, and they come to believe.
Yes.
But he tells them, you're how foolish you are and slow of heart.
Yeah. So, but Peter, when Peter and John get there, then they believe.
Then they believe. They recognize.
When they see the garments folded up. And, you know, interestingly, too, when they ask him way back at the beginning of John's gospel, you know, what sign do you show, you know, that you're going to do these things? He said, destroy this temple and rebuild it in 3 days.
Yeah.
And they thought he was talking about the temple. So they ridicule him by saying, oh, you know, it took 46 years to build this temple.
Right.
And you're going to raise it up in 3 days. So that he's talking about his body.
Right.
Now, Peter and John would have been there for that conversation. And probably at that resurrection day, that would have come back to their mind.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there's a lot of stuff about 3 days. There's a lot of stuff about the third day. There's a lot of stuff about Messiah suffering, rising, and then going to his glory. And we just, you know, it's kind of hard to take this all in after everything that's happened over the last 3 days.
Yeah, you know, even, you know, when he talks about the prophet Jonah, no, you know, this is an evil generation and no sign's going to be given to it except for that of the prophet Jonah.
Yes, exactly.
He was in the, you know, the belly of the whale for 3 days, belly of the fish for 3 days. But as this is all happening, I mean, they walked with Jesus for 3 years. They were, you know, they're born and raised in Judaism.
Yeah.
They understand and they know Judaism. They follow the law. Or and try to the best
they've
they can.
They've had lots of Passovers.
lots of Passovers. You know, they're Jewish. They take their faith very seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And now, in a short period of time, everything starts to change. From the entry into Jerusalem to the Passover meal that they celebrate with him where he washes their feet.
Yeah.
You know, the people shouting Hosanna to the Son of David, putting palm branches down. They'd walked with him for 3 years. The other 2 years, they wouldn't have seen this.
Yeah.
And now he's risen from the dead, and they go to the tomb, and they find things just the way that the woman said.
Right.
The burial cloths are there, as you said, folded up because the work is finished. His work is finished. And so in a matter of a few days, a week's time, their whole world is basically turned, you know, I don't want to say upside down, but really right upside side up.
Yeah, yeah, right. That's
because
right.
Jesus is restoring all of creation back to
That's
the Father.
Right.
So everything that they know and everything that they come to believe is now, wow, what is happening here?
Exactly. And they never went to a Seder before where they heard, this is my body and this is my blood.
No.
That never happened before.
No. No. And now, as you said, they're remembering what he told them.
Yes. And I think if you're listening to this and you haven't really thought about this and you heard this when you were a kid and maybe you went to catechism or Sunday school when you were a kid, you haven't thought about this for 40 years or 30 years or 50 years, but we serve a risen Savior mm-hmm. who came to save us and is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And despite what your friends are telling you, despite what the television is telling you, despite whatever bumper stickers you see on cars, he's the only way to salvation.
Yeah.
He said, no one comes to the Father except by me. And the fact that he is a risen Savior shows that his work was done. His sacrifice was accepted. He's now sitting at the right hand of the Father and he intercedes for you continuously.
Yes.
If you come to him. Mm-hmm. Woo. And this is what we're celebrating.
Yeah.
These 3 days, but this is Resurrection Day because like Paul says, if there was no resurrection, then we're still in our sins. And it all sounded like a good story, but we're still in our sins.
Yeah.
But fortunately, he is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Woo. Hope you've had an awesome Resurrection Day.
And we just pray that as the disciples on the road to Emmaus, and as the disciples who went to the tomb that morning found things just as Jesus had told them, that he would rise from the dead, that you too would come to know that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior of all. God bless everyone. Have a great and awesome Resurrection Day. You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.